Good morning, Decred dorks. Welcome back to episode 0.0.2. This is episode 3 of E's Corner. And I have to start off this episode with thank yous. I want to thank the community, as always, for being so encouraging of me to keep going. Episode 2 was the first time that I actually received donations. I do this live recording podcast in part because I am trying to save up for a Decred ticket. The other part is that this is just really the only outlet I have to just be intellectually curious about Decred and crypto projects. And I think many in the community don't know that I actually live record these episodes on my YouTube channel, and then I post them later on as podcasts. So I want to just encourage people to go to my YouTube channel. E's Corner is what I call this series. I think it's forked over to Staked Podcast. I'm focusing very heavy on Decred right now, but in the future, E's Corner will not just be about Decred, but Staked Podcast will always just be about Decred. And today, we are going to be talking about the Constitution. I have my Miss Kitty coffee mug here. You guys can see it in the video. Gotta love my great value coffee from Walmart. That's how we do it here in Oklahoma, guys. We ain't bougie in Oklahoma. Also got my Chobani. It's 4 a.m. or actually it's 4:32 now. It was 4 a.m. when I woke up. It took me a little longer to get started on this podcast today, but the audio sounded really good last time. I'm very excited about that. I think this mic is actually working, so we're gonna stick with it. Hopefully it just keeps going. A lot going on in the Decred world, a lot going on in the crypto world, a lot going on in markets as well. I'm just gonna pull up Decred Block Explorer real quick. bcrdata.decred.org. We are currently at proposed block number 482996, 482,996. The current Decred ticket price is 146.31. There is 50.74% of circulating Decred locked up in tickets that is being staked. That's about 6 million. The voting reward is still at 0.86. And the hash rate is at 422 petahashes. And the exchange rate of Decred is at 13.56, with a total coin supply of 11,976,954. I'm gonna blow my nose real quick. Really hate that, but it's allergy season here in Oklahoma, and I have been blowing my nose left and right. Hopefully, I don't sound too congested for today's podcast. It was an interesting week this week, post episode 2 release. Decred was trading at one time around $16 earlier this week and then took a dip down. And I noticed on social media a lot of people were talking about now is a great time to buy. I've been seeing a lot of charts that seem to suggest, and I'm not a TA guy, but seem to suggest that there could be a very bullish move coming soon. I don't know how true that is, but I do think that anyone who is new to Decred or who's just learning about this podcast or new to cryptocurrencies in general, I started buying Decred about, it was over a year ago. But the first time I bought Decred, it was at $15. I've watched it go up to $13 and, and fluctuate basically in between 30 and 15 for the last year and a half or so. And I mean, I was buying this weekend. I was buying. I'm still saving up for my ticket. And I'm just very excited about the project and the community. We really are at almost like a tipping point, I feel, with the decks and the release of my understanding is essentially the opcodes that will allow for this treasury to be truly decentralized are also in the works. And there was a really interesting video on YouTube. I'll probably have it linked, or maybe it'll pop up right now if you're watching this on YouTube. In regards to mining hosted by Checkmate. And before we jump into the material today, I do want to give some thank yous. Again, thank you to everyone who has given me some Atom tips. I want to encourage everyone to just tip, 10 million atoms is $2, less than $2 right now, and it goes a long ways for me. It really helps me and it encourages me. I want to thank Mr. Bulb and Pablito, two members of the Twitter community, which is, I'm not too active on Matrix or any of the other Decred avenues. And so Twitter is really where I go to interact with people in the community. Thank you guys for your input and helping me prepare for today's episode. I also wanted to just shout out Checkmate and say thank you for your continued encouragement. Over the last year, you're someone that I've learned a lot from, and just super cool to have you encouraging me to just keep going and talking about Stake Podcast being out there in the wild. And I am just kind of doing this without very much backing, or just like, I don't know. I'm still really figuring it out. To me, it's an intellectual pursuit for me and a way for me to. So those of you who don't know, I'm in law school at the University of Oklahoma. I'm a 1L there. So it's very interesting to talk about a constitution today because as I was doing my research for today's episode, one thing that I couldn't help but think about is the similarities between the creating of the United States Constitution and the debate surrounding the Constitution at that time between the Federalist and the Anti-Federalist. Some of the debates surrounding whether we should have a constitution or what should be included in that constitution, how detailed and how resolute that constitution should be, how enforceable that constitution should be. How do you create a system of governance? And I'm talking about the US Constitution right now, that creates a proper checks and balances system. And just over a year ago, slightly over a year ago, in February of 2019, the Decred community was having debates about the Constitution. One thing I couldn't really find in my research is an understanding of when the Constitution kind of first, when the Genesis idea of the Constitution began. But from what I parsed together, it seems as though constitutions, that it was always there from the beginning, essentially. That when the community launched and the coin launched, the Constitution was always part of it. I'm really hating having to blow my nose on mic, but I have to do it or else I won't be able to talk. Next time I do that, I think I'm going to try and mute, and that way it's not disgusting because I think that's really gross. Yeah, so the Constitution was there from the beginning, and at one point it included some language about assemblies and committees, and it's been revised since as recent as a year ago. And I remember when I first learned about Decred, I was kind of put off by the Constitution. I remember just being like, this doesn't seem very indicative of decentralization, right? Like one thing about Bitcoin is that it's very anarchic. Yeah, that's the right word. There really are no rules and there's no set of rules, but there is rules though. And that's what you learn as you are in the project more and more, is that there is an informal set of governance. Someone has to change the code. Someone has to sign blocks. Someone has to decide what will get added to the project and what updates will get made and what won't get added to the project. And I think a constitution seems at first glance to be anti-cypherpunk, but the more you stay in the crypto project, the more you really think about this issue, you realize that it's not actually anti-cypherpunk. It's actually very individual freedom enabling, and it helps not only create a set of guided values, but it also allows people who are coming into Decred get up to speed on what they're getting into, right? And this is very important because I've always talked about crypto projects as being kind of like individual states, nation states, digital nation states. And I still believe this is a very accurate representation, because when humans are born, they're sort of born into like a random geography, a random location, and borders, I believe, are arbitrary. And I mean, if you believe in property rights, I believe it's hard to kind of to go from individual property rights to nation states and preventing people from freely traveling onto your land. But one thing that I like about the internet is that it has created more accessibility to not only information, but now also trade, because you're able to send value over the internet and no one could stop you. And I believe that as these blockchain projects continue to grow, that and people start to get a better understanding, that many of these protocols will be viewed as kind of digital nation states. And whether you decide to join Bitcoin or Decred or Ethereum or Tezos or whatever it is, you are saying something about your value system. You're saying something about what you want to see the world and how you want to see the world, or what version of the world you think is most accurate, right? For example, I think the easiest way to talk about this is in terms of inflation or deflation, right? Decred and Bitcoin are deflationary currencies. There's a 21 million cap. Tezos, EOS, Ethereum, they're perpetually inflationary. Monero. And so you're saying something about your values. You're saying something about the version of the world you want to live in. And I think about John Marshall, one of the first chief justices of the United States, and his words, "It is a constitution we are expounding." What he meant by this is we must never forget that the things we do, talking about the 1700s, the things we write will endure forever. And these are values and principles that we are supposed to be extrapolating and interpreting from the Constitution. Thank you, Damn I Just, for your comments on the live. Thank you. Thank you. So, what is a constitution? A constitution is an aggregate of fundamental principles, established precedents that constitute legal basis of a polity, organization, or other type of entity, and commonly determine how that entity is governed. Pretty sure I got that from Wikipedia. I have my notes in front of me, and I'll be referring to them a lot throughout this podcast. Constitutions concern different levels of organizations, sovereign countries, companies, unincorporated associations, and now blockchains. I think this is important to note here that constitutions are something that, although the American Constitution is the longest living constitution and, you know, democracy, Bill of Rights, yada, 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 it's not something that is foreign to other types of collective, what am I trying to say? I guess people just coming together and trying to come up with some aim, right? Whether it be a company, people who are trying to govern how we're gonna, what direction are we gonna set this business? It's not unusual that when groups of people come together, they try to define the values and principles that are gonna guide them. And so this is kind of like the preamble of the Decred Constitution that I'm about to re read. This constitution defines a set of principles which guide the decision-making of the project stakeholders and describes the process through which the blockchain and treasury are governed. This document is meant to manage the expectations of prospective and actual Decred users so that they may more clearly understand the social contract between themselves and the project. This document is not intended to take precedence over the Decred network's consensus rules should any conflict arise. So what's in there? We've already talked about there's a set of values, a set of principles, and this document is meant to guide people who are interested in Decred, who are already using Decred. It talks about stakeholders in particular, and it talks about how the blockchain and the treasury are to be managed. Now, the blockchain is, we've talked in previous episodes about exactly how the different layers of proof of work, proof of stake. We haven't talked too much about how updates to the blockchain get made. Maybe we'll jump into that a little bit today, kind of when I talk about governance. But how are you actually changing the code? But what's very, very interesting here is that this document doesn't actually take precedence over the rules, the consensus rules, code, the code rules. And I think that this is a very good sort of balance between, I think I've heard this distinction made between wet code and dry code. And I'm trying to remember Nick Szabo, who actually is an attorney. He's made this distinction. And I think he says that wet code is computer code, and dry code is, maybe it's the other way around, is laws. And you want to try to have a merger between these two. You have sort of the social layer of which people are operating on, and then you have the protocol layer. And the protocol layer is very black and white. You can't change it without, like, well, in Decred's case, you can't change it without a majority vote of the stakeholders. Actually, it's larger than a majority vote of the stakeholders. And so I think what I'm getting at here is there's this nice checks and balance system throughout Decred, even from the social layer to the actual protocol layer. And I think that helps drive the project towards a sustainable future, right? Because that was the thing, as we talked about in episode one, sort of like the history of Decred, right? Part of what Jake Yoakum Pyatt and Company Zero and team, what they saw issues with Bitcoin was the uncertainty of the future and the uncertainty of how are things going to get updated and how are people going, how are we going to coordinate on the social layer? Something Bitcoin still struggles with today, something we're seeing Ethereum struggle with immensely today. And so we're going to start the Constitution is broken down into three parts. It's broken down into principles, governance, and funding. It's actually a very short constitution. If you copy and paste it onto a Word document, it's about a page and a half. So there's really not too much there, really. It's not like reading through the American Constitution. And it's very clear. It's very the language is not meant to be tricky. And this is something that they purposefully did, especially when they revised the Constitution. And revising of constitutions is not something that's unusual, right? Like the American Constitution gets amended, not incredibly often, but early on in our history, it was. And it's interesting to think about that we are kind of the pioneers of these digital economies, and future generations will go back and think about and be curious about the debates that took place. And it's important that we document exactly why the decisions were made and talk about why fixed supply is important. Because we live in the era of money printer go burr, but let's just jump into these principles one by one and talk about them. So I am going to just mute the mic every time I have to blow my nose. I think that works. Principle number one, free and open source software. All software developed as part of Decred shall be free and open source software. This speaks not only to the intellectual history of Decred, the work history of its founders, but also to a movement that has slowly taken place over the history of computer science, from closed sourced systems to more shared open source systems. And look, we're seeing this trend across the world and across industries. I think a great example is video gaming. And those of you who are gamers, which I believe there's actually a nice cross section between gamers and crypto geeks, Epic Games recently got kind of deplatformed from Apple. And this uncollaborative nature of business, of technology, of the world, right? I mean, borders are literally the last presidential election in 2016. One of the major issues was border security and keeping the world closed off. But technology is breaking down these barriers. And Apple's whole business model, Apple's business model was kind of like dictated on the idea that they would create hardware and make it interoperable, but make sure that they had their own operating system, that they had their own own language for development, own platform for development, and that it would be walled gardens. But I believe that the trend in technology is towards open source and free. And I think that the fact that Decred kind of stakes a flag as not necessarily the first, you know, I mean, like there's obviously like Unix and things that there's a long history of open source and free software, but it's good that Decred is of that lineage. And I think Bitcoin and Decred actually do mark kind of like this changing point. But free speech and consideration. Everyone has the right to communicate opinions and ideas without fear of censorship. Consideration shall be given to all constructive speech that is based in fact and reason. This again goes back to the history of Bitcoin, where Roger Ver, who forked and kind of made Bitcoin Cash, he always talked about being censored on the Bitcoin Talk forum and in the Reddit Bitcoins and things of that nature. And in Politeia, the way the system works is when you write something, it actually gets kind of like there's like, I think Merkle root is actually the right word. But essentially, it gets timestamped and put into the blockchain so that what you said, you can prove that you said it. You can prove that you said it, and your speech won't get censored, and your ideas won't get censored. And so you don't have the situation where someone's putting out an idea, but then the person who runs the Reddit is taking down your comments, and now your ideas don't get a voice. Multi-stakeholder inclusivity. Inclusivity represents a multi-stakeholder system, and an active effort shall be maintained to include a diverse set of views and users. This was one of the things that when I first joined the Decred community, I was really impressed with, was seeing how worldly the community was seeing how, whether it was Decred Australia or Decred Brazil or Decred Africa, or there were so many different communities all across the world. And I know that early on in the project's history, one of the things that was very important to the founders was trying to create not only a decentralized group of stakeholders, but also a decentralized group of developers. And so looking how the different development teams are spread across the world, right? I think that there are so many different views about how the world ought to be. And if you try to just focus on Asia, or just try to focus on just America, or just Latin America, or wherever, you're going to miss out on the nuances of human life that exist at different parts of the world. Incremental privacy and security. Privacy and security are priorities and shall be balanced with the complexity of their implementations. Additional privacy and security technology shall be implemented on a continuing and incremental basis, both proactively and on demand in response to attacks. This is very important because it shows that within the value system of Decred is making sure that there is privacy of who has these assets, where these assets are going, who's trading them, how much you own. And Decred shows that it's not just putting things down on paper. We actually have backed this up through code, right? CoinShuffle++ is the research that the Decred implementation of privacy was based off of. And Jake Yocum Pyatt published a paper that talks about the different trade-offs between the different privacy coins. And Decred is right up there with the best of them. And it's just incremental, right? Because right now, not all the coins are privately transacted. But over time, we, the stakeholders, the community, will hopefully keep pushing towards that. This was a very interesting one. Fixed finite supply. Issuance is finite and the total issuance shall not exceed 20,999,999.9980091.2 DCR with a per block subsidy that adjusts every 6,144 blocks, approximately 21.33 days, by reducing by a factor of 100 to 101. The Genesis block subsidy starts at 31.19 DCR. As I was doing my research, Mr. Bulb, he suggested I go back and look at the Bitcoin talk forums. It was very interesting to see Taco Time talking about the adjustment of the issuance. And he wanted to start the block subsidy at 50 DCR. And he talks about when he created his formula of how the issuance would decrease over time. With Bitcoin, we all know every 4 years things get cut in half. He came up with a formula that he said, the details of it, I really couldn't understand, to be honest, and wasn't going to try super hard to understand. But one thing I did take away was that he created a model that he said people in finance would understand as mimicking compound interest. And so I found that to be very interesting because one of the value propositions of Decred is that as a stakeholder, you sacrifice liquidity in return for interest. And I've heard people in the community talk about this as sort of like a reversion to old school banking. I remember when I first set up a bank account, I'm pretty sure the interest rates in the United States were like 4 or 5%. And that was like really good. Like you put your money in a savings account and you get 4%. And now you get less than 1% in a savings account. And so knowing that there's a safe place to put your money and have your money work for you without taking great risk is, I think, like a fundamental part of building a financial system. And it's really great that Decred has that built into the protocol. The fixed finite supply, that one was very interesting because it was debated. And it seems like overwhelming majority of participants in the system kind of recognize that the moment we go away from a fixed supply, like a large portion of the community would probably just be out and they would, you know. But anyways, there has been debate even as recent as 2019 about whether that should be part of the constitution or not, because as a protocol who's able to adapt, some people have argued that, you know, maybe in 100 years, whenever the block subsidy starts running out, we might want to turn to a model that's similar to Monero with like a tail emission. I'm glad that the project hasn't taken that route. I don't think that's smart. And I believe that the legacy stakeholders, the OGs, the founders, I think this would be like getting rid of the finite supply would be like getting rid of the right to bear arms in the United States. It's just like so much a part of the ethos of why we exist to begin with, in the freedom of speech, right? Getting rid of freedom of speech, probably a better one. It just runs against the whole purpose of Decred. Universal fungibility. This is one of the last things. Universal fungibility is fundamental to Decred, being a store of value, and tax against it shall be actively monitored and countermeasures pursued as necessary. It's important that in a world of blockchain governance, in a world of surveillance, blockchain for surveillance, that nation state actors and other interests not be able to know. Because in Bitcoin, kind of what's happening is you have like two classes of Bitcoin almost. You have like the KYC Bitcoin and the non-KYC Bitcoin. And we'll see how it plays out long term, but it's important that Decred acknowledges that we want our tokens to be fungible completely. We want no one to be able to differentiate between the tokens. We're going to move on now to blockchain governance. Governance of the network occurs directly through the blockchain via hybridization of blocks proof of work with its proof of stake voters. Proof-of-stake voters, also known as stakeholders, can effectively override proof-of-work contributors, known as miners, if 50% or more of the stakeholders vote against a particular block created by a miner. I see this as being very akin to how the House votes and then the Senate votes and then it gets approved by the president, right? It's kind of like that checks and balances system, which I find to be very valuable. And I'm not saying that, oh, Decred has copied the Constitution or that the American Constitution is the right way to do things. What I'm saying is that the reason that certain constitutions endure is because of checks and balances, is because for important decisions, it requires a lot of approval. Things move slowly, but move fast when they need to. And it's about not allowing one group to have too much power. And Decred has, I believe, hit a very, very sweet spot in terms of, especially in terms of issuance. But that's, maybe talk about that here in a little bit as we get more into these blockchain governance constitutional bullet points. Stakeholders are people who purchase one or more tickets, which entails locking a specific amount of DCR. The amount of DCR that must be locked, also known as the ticket pool, fluctuates as the system targets 40,960 tickets in the live pool. So I have never bought a ticket. And when I first got into Decred, I was talking with my friend Murad, and one of my first complaints was that I felt that the ticket pool and the ticket system was oligarchic in a way, that it created sort of two classes of citizens within Bitcoin, I mean, within Decred. And this is not untrue. And more so, this is not, this is the same issue that the constitutional framers wrestled with, which was that if you allow tyranny of the majority, right? If you allow tyranny of the, one thing that the framers of the Constitution were concerned about was that 51% of the people would vote on something and take away the rights of 49% of the people, that they would like strong arm them because they had the majority. Tyranny of the majority is what it was called. Particularly property owners and people who owned slaves were concerned that these things were going to be taken from them. And there is a balance of interest between property owners in society and those who don't have, or maybe even a good way to look at it right now in the context of America is people who own assets and people who don't, because they're going to have different interests. They're going to have different things that are valuable to them, that's important to them. And I'm saying all this just to say, I used to be very turned off by the tickets. I felt that it would lead to ticket centralization. Those who got in early were going to perpetually have a lot of tickets. And I've since now come to believe that this is probably not true, that as time goes on, these tickets, they re-enter into the pool and you have more. It's very incremental, right? Like I've been, when I first got into Decred, a ticket cost less than $100. Now ticket cost, what I say in the beginning, I can't remember, under 46 Decred. Yeah, so when I first got into Decred, a ticket cost 100 Decred. And I was like, okay, I'm saving up for that. I've passed 100 Decred now. I don't have 146. But the point that I'm getting at is that as you sort of get more Decred and you have more skin in the game, as it will, as it were, eventually one of those 40,000 tickets is going to be mine. And there'll be other people who enter the community and who build up a stake. And these people, they should have a say because they put their savings into this thing and they should have governance over decision-making. But what's important here is that anyone is allowed to participate. Anyone is allowed to come in and try to become a ticket holder. It's not like it's, and that was what was one thing about the framers when they came up with the Constitution was we wanted to make sure that anyone was allowed to become the president or who was allowed to run for Congress, right? Anyone's allowed to play the game. This is what makes the system still open and still, I guess, democratic in its values, is that it doesn't exclude people. It doesn't say, no, you're not allowed to have any say over this. Now you might have to work for it, right? And the other beautiful thing about the Decred community and the way things work is that anyone can put their skill, their time, their labor, and try to become valuable to the community, which is essentially what I've done. And you could try to become a contractor, or you can, you know, become a podcaster or write articles, right? And people in this community, they are very generous. They do want Decred to be used as something that is helping people create a better life for themselves, protect their wealth, actually do business, right? And so there's also been talks to make sure that in the future, tickets can be bought, like tickets can be split. So maybe at some point in the future, 150 Decred is like way out of the reach for the average person. However, if you split that ticket amongst, let's say, 150 people who all own one Decred, well, they all just get to have their voice inputted in proportionate to amount of skin in the game they have, amount of skin in the game they have. And I believe that's very fair. Each block, five tickets. We're moving on to bullet point. Oh. Hold on, guys. That's my 5 a.m. alarm telling me to wake up. I love when I'm awake before that alarm, though, because it just lets me know that I'm ahead of the game. So moving on to bullet point three here. In each block, five tickets are called to vote, determined by a lottery system. When a ticket is called, a nominated wallet must actively respond with a vote. For a block to be accepted by the network, it must include votes from at least three of the five tickets called. The blockchain cannot be extended without an active participation of stakeholders. This is just kind of talking about how the protocol works here. This is for someone who comes in, they have no idea. They're like, okay, well, what's with these tickets, right? So now the person knows, all right, every block, there's going to be five tickets. At least three of the five people have to vote. And if they approve this block, then it gets added. And if it doesn't, well, then we move on and we get wait for another block to come and we wait for the people to vote. And it's a lottery system too, right? So you don't know when your ticket is going to be called. And this is important because it helps create protection for someone coming in, buying a whole bunch of tickets, and then trying to manipulate the blockchain, right? Because you don't know when your ticket's going to be called. You might buy, let's say, 100 tickets, but those 100 tickets are not all going to be, it's very unlikely that three of them are going to be called at the same time, allowing you to do something to the blockchain or approve a block that wouldn't otherwise be approved or something of that nature. Stakeholders must wait an average of 28 days to vote their tickets. And during this time, the DCR used to purchase the ticket remains locked. We've talked about that. The wait may be much longer or shorter than the average of 28 days because the ticket selection process is pseudo-random. Tickets expire after 40,960 blocks, approximately 142 days, if they have not been called to the vote. So if your ticket doesn't get called within 142 days, sorry, you're out of luck. Your ticket typically is going to get called on average within 28 days. And I used to know, I'm trying to think here, hold on. I took statistics in college, and there is a certain distribution. I forgot what it's called, but it occurs like very like naturally a lot in nature. And my understanding is that Decred's ticket issuance and like the pseudo randomness of the selection process of tickets tried to follow this same distributional curve. And maybe at some point I'll remember what it's called, but if someone else knows, maybe you can tell me on in the comments or let me know on Twitter sort of what was the, how was that distribution chosen? I know there was a certain, anyways, that's why I do this though, guys, because it really challenges me to understand what I'm talking about and know. Rahul Sam, thank you in the comments. Thank you, my man. Thank you for being here. Thank you for your comment. Moving on to the next bullet point. Stakeholder votes recorded in the blockchain are awarded with 6% of each block subsidy, and each block can have up to 5 votes for a total of 30% of each block subsidy. So with each block, as someone who locks up their Decred, sacrifices liquidity, part of the reward you're going to get is 6% of the block reward subsidy. And to me, this is very fair because as someone who buys a ticket and locks up their Decred, and when you do this, right, you're also having to cast votes and you're sort of creating the rules that which Decred will operate by. And I think it's fair to sacrifice liquidity and get as a reward more Decred, because if you do something or if you make like a bad decision, the stakeholders are going to have to suffer the consequences of their bad decisions in the terms of the value of Decred. So if they do something that's really, really bad and then the price of Decred plummets, you know, they've locked up their Decred. So it's not like they can just like sell. So the point is that it creates a good balance so that someone can't come in and try to sabotage the chain. Or it also makes people think very hard about the decisions they're making. So the Constitution goes on here. Proof of work receives 60% of each block subsidy, subject to the constraint that their subsidy scales linearly with the number of proof of stake votes included. Example, including three of the five votes reduces proof of work subsidy to 60% of the maximum. So basically, if you don't get all five people voting for your block, you don't get all 60% of your reward as a proof of work miner. The votes themselves decide by a majority decision whether the regular transaction tree of the previous block, including the proof of work subsidy, is valid. Thus, if proof-of-stake voters vote against a particular proof-of-work block, it invalidates the proof-of-work reward and the treasury reward and invalidates any regular transactions within that block. I think this is important just to know. It is a little confusing, the word, like the verbiage, but I think basically if you understand from thus on, so if proof-of-stake voters vote against a particular proof-of-work block, it invalidates the proof-of-work reward, including the treasury, and invalidates any regular transactions within that block. Decred's process for amending the consensus rules is also driven by stakeholder voting. Okay, so this is really cool too. The process begins when at least 95% of proof-of-work miners and 75% of proof-of-stake voters have upgraded their software to a new version with latent changes in the rules. Once these conditions are met, a voting period of 8,064 blocks, approximately 4 weeks, begins to decide whether the latent rule changes should be activated. So, nose blow, and then I'll get into it. What this is saying is that in order for consensus rules to change, not only do you have to get a substantial amount of, not only do you have to get a substantial amount of proof of work miners who have a lot of skin in the game because they purchased ASICs, they're burning electricity, 95% of them. You also have to get 75% of the proof of stake voters. So these are people who own tickets to upgrade their software to the new version. So they're just upgrading the software, and the software will have the changes lying. It says latent changes. I mean, I think dormant is probably a better word because they're not active. I really don't like that language there. But anyways, like the changes are there in the code and the consensus rules are there ready to be activated. But the voting hasn't even begun. And so this is the next bullet point. For a rule change proposal to be approved, at least 75% of the tickets not set to abstain must vote yes. So that's it. You have yes, no, and abstain. So the abstaining is kind of pointless because, yeah, I mean, you're not taking a side either way. You're really not neutral if you're abstaining. Abstaining is almost like voting yes, kind of. Because all that really needs to happen is 75% of the people who are voting needs to say yes. So that means there might be 40,096 tickets, 40,960 tickets. If 20,000 people abstain, then you only need 75% of 20,000 people to vote yes. You guys get what I'm trying to say here. I'm not a math guy, okay? If this requirement is met and a quorum of 10% tickets voting yes or no is achieved, then the rule change will be activated 4 weeks later. So this is important to understand how the mechanics, and I think that this gets kind of like to, in the Constitution where it talks about you have to have a quorum and you have to have a plurality and you have to have a majority and this majority. It's just kind of deciding. And what I like about the Decred system is that the Decred system also protects against tyranny of the majority. It does take more than just 51% to make a change. You really have to get a lot of people to approve something. All right, we're going to get into the third part of the Constitution, which is governance and funding. I'm probably going to run through these because there's really not too much for me to say. Sustainability and longevity require that 10% of a block reward be given to a project treasury fund administered by a development organization. So 10% of every block reward goes to the treasury. We've talked about that before. The initial development organization is Decred Holding Group LLC, a Nevis LLC that is responsible for funding work related to development of the project, such as software development, infrastructure, and awareness. DHG shall comply with all relevant bodies of law in the jurisdictions where applicable, such as embargoes and other trade sanctions. That's language that will probably over time be taken out once the Treasury is decentralized, right? But I think this is really just to kind of protect themselves, because Decred doesn't give a shit about jurisdictions. Anyone can use the protocol. Doesn't matter where you are. Your address isn't associated with your geographic location. And this is one of the things we like about Decred. The project aims to transition to a decentralized autonomous organization which controls the disbursement of treasury funds. This is kind of important, and I just want to note here, part of why I've really actually decided to do this podcast as well is because one of my legal interests is in DAO law, which as I've gone through my first year, like when I first got into it, I was like, oh, being a crypto lawyer, that'll be dope. But the more you learn about the law, the more you realize like being a quote unquote crypto lawyer is kind of dumb. And for the most part, like the way you would really be helping your clients would just be like telling them that what they're doing is illegal, but that they should do it anyways, or that they're going to do it anyways, right? Like, not telling them they should, but just being like, oh yeah, like, no, you can't lock that security without it being regulated, but shit, that's just my legal opinion. And then they're going to do it anyways, right? So it doesn't really matter. But DAO law to me is super, super interesting. And I haven't even gotten into like corporations and securities law or anything like that. I'm in like the 1L classes. But even as I take civil procedures and I learn about who has jurisdiction over a company, what court is allowed to summon you to their court? And does that summoning have any weight, right? Like, things are about to get really, really, really weird when it comes to DAOs, because how do you, if a DAO does something or a DAO issues money, let's say Decred DAO decided that we wanted to fund a terrorist group. Well, who are you going to call? Who are you going to call? Who's the U.S. government going to call to try to get them to stop? Because it's a whole bunch of stakeholders who are anonymous, distributed across the globe. So who's responsible? And I think that DAO law will be a very, very interesting area of law, and something I'm excited about. But for as long as Decred Holding Group it has responsibility for managing the treasury, i.e. until control is fully decentralized, it holds a veto that can be exercised if it felt that following through with the decision would put the project, the DHG corporate entity, or DHG's managers in jeopardy. So essentially what that part is saying, that, yeah, we're not going to fund terrorist groups for now. That's essentially what that's saying. Politeia proposals are the mechanisms through which stakeholders make policy decisions and approve programs of work. Politeia proposals must be approved by at least 60% of tickets that vote, and at least 20% of the eligible tickets must participate in the vote. The default voting period is 1 week. I, admittedly, have not messed around in Politeia too much. I haven't. I have been a silent Decred, like, Atom stacker. That's what I've been doing for the last year and a half. I haven't tried to get too involved in the community. I've just been minding my business, just trying to get my U.S. dollars into a different asset. Slowly but surely, I'm not just dumping all my money in. You know, I have bills I have to pay. And crypto is volatile. But the point I'm getting at is that I really can't speak too much about Politeia, but that's part of why I'm doing this whole thing too, is because I want to keep learning. And I do know that at some point I will do a video about Politeia. And maybe that's what I just have to force myself to do with this next episode. But I would really like to do, and this is kind of just a plug for the next episode. I've been thinking about doing like a why Decred sort of thing, or like my favorite. Like, what is the value proposition of Decred? And I've been also thinking about trying to invite someone on who I think is a little bit more poetic and probably has a better grasp of the investment thesis. That's what it is, the investment thesis of Decred. So let me know what you guys think, if you think that's a good episode. if you think I should structure it like a pro and con, should I do a pro episode and a con episode? Should I just do them both together in one episode? Would love some feedback. Decred contractors are individuals and corporations who work on their project under an agreement that they are compensated for their work. Decred contractors are autonomous. They cannot be managed directly by stakeholders. Through Politeia, stakeholders can approve or reject programs of work as performed by specific contractors, but they cannot mandate that workers take certain actions. The Decred Contractors Collective is a self-regulating entity wherein cells working on specific aspects resolve disputes and add new members independently. As described in the approved Decred Contractor Clearance Proposal, disputes that cannot be satisfactorily resolved within a team can be escalated to an all-contractor vote once contractor management system, which will facilitate this, is operational. If necessary, unresolved matters could be further escalated to a stakeholder vote as the ultimate decision-making authority. The will of the stakeholders, as expressed through their on-chain and Politeia ticket voting, is the ultimate decision-making force for the project. That's very important. This constitution will be ratified by Politeia vote before it takes effect and can be further amended by approval of subsequent Politeia proposals. So, that last point there is just saying that this constitution can be amended, things can change. And Politeia serves as that location for where people will go to debate, to ratify, and amend the Constitution as time goes on. So now that we've gone over the Constitution, how would we define the Decred system of governance? Well, there are a couple of articles I read this week in preparing for today. A couple of things I want to talk about. The first article was written by Noah. He's well known in the Decred community. And he wrote an article called Decred's Governance is a Kyphocracy. He explains that democracy comes from the Latin word demos, meaning people, and kratos, meaning power. And he says, word cyphocracy is derived from two words, cypherpunk, meaning people who advocate the use of strong cryptography and privacy-enhancing technologies as a route for social and political change, and kratos, meaning power. If democracy means power to the people, our governance system means power to cypherpunks. The cypherpunk community has developed many of the technologies that empower Decred. Most of our community members can be typified as cypherpunks. Our project is based on sound cryptography and open source community-based decision making. To facilitate the decision-making process, Decrypt has developed a unique hybrid consensus system with on-chain consensus voting. Furthermore, we will introduce a public proposal system through which everyone has access to development funding. Together, we decide on the future of our currency. I think I like this term. I like it. It's definitely a mouthful. I don't know if it actually, accurately is like, I don't know if it's really the same thing as calling something a democracy, calling it a kyphocracy. But I think what Noah's getting at here is there's a truth in here, which is that Decred has these cypherpunk roots, and Decred uses cryptography to create more fair games and to create more freedom-enabling technologies, whether that be through privacy, whether that be through a DEX, whether that be through Lightning implementation, which will allow for cheaper transactions and more transactions. I guess maybe the word kyphocracy is correct then, because it's using these technologies, these cypherpunk technologies and ideas, to empower the people. Couple of other things I read, I thought were worth noting here. Leslie Ankeny, something like that. She wrote an article in Forbes titled "Who Should Hold Power: Decred Governance and What It Means for Investors." I read that article. There wasn't too many great takeaways in there, to be honest. Black Bear the 17th wrote an article titled "Bitcoin and Decred: Historical Documents of a Digital Financial Revolution." I like how he kind of like said Bitcoin is like the Declaration of Independence, and he said that Decred is kind of like the Constitution. I think this is an accurate analogy, because Bitcoin was kind of like the technology that took the cat out the bag, if you will. And then Decred is the technology that created ways for people to organize on the social layer. And so I really appreciated his thoughts there. It was impactful in my own thinking. Thank you for that article. Hasu, Unpacking Bitcoin, Unpacking Bitcoin's Social Contract. He gets into the real nitty-gritty of how the Bitcoin mechanics create sort of social consensus. And Noah wrote an article following that one up with the social contract, or Unpacking Decred Social Contract, which I actually found to be a little bit better of an article and made a little bit more sense given the context of Decred. And his conclusions in this article was that money can be seen as a social contract between people and society. And I thought this was very, very profound. And it gets back to that idea that we are creating digital nation states, because I didn't get to choose to be a United States citizen. I'm very happy that I am a United States citizen, but I kind of had this legacy system handed down to me, and it was a rigged system from the beginning. And I think over this decade, I think more and more Americans are going to wake up to that. And I just feel so fortunate to be born at this moment in time in history, not only to watch what's unfolding unfold, but also to be part of that history, hopefully in a small way, and to choose, almost like being part of Decred to me is almost like choosing a country to reside in. And the people who are part of this community, we all share something, an intellectual curiosity, a pioneering spirit. The Decred community to me is some of the smartest group of people, because they're not like the maximalist who, some of them just got lucky, right place, right time. And now they're holding on like it's, I mean, it like it's their religion, and just bashing and not being intellectually curious and sometimes being intellectually dishonest. I think a lot of that comes from just fear. Some of it comes from deep-rooted belief, like Seyfeddine Lamous and Pierre Richard, who I have a lot of respect for. But yeah, let's just keep on going. His other conclusion was that Decred and Bitcoin are not new contracts. They are new implementations of a contract that can be traced back to hundreds of years. And in comparison to Bitcoin, the Decred implementation has made several significant changes. It has expanded the rules of the contract, which adds extra dimensions to the social layer. Decred enables people who hold the currency to collaborate and decide about the future of the project. And I think that that is probably a good way to end the episode. And as we think about the Constitution, we think about Decred moving forward. Let us not forget that it is a project we are expounding. In the, I'm trying to play off of Chief Justice John Marshall, this quote that I had in the beginning. Hopefully that sunk in. Maybe that was kind of cheesy, but thank you guys to everyone who tuned into this episode. Please like, subscribe, rate the podcast on however you're listening to it, because I want this to be a top-rated podcast. I'm always open to constructive criticism. I will have my Atom tipping address in the description somewhere. So if you like this episode, you want to let me know I'm doing a good job. Please go ahead and send some atoms over, and I will make sure that they never leave the Decred ecosystem. Thank you guys for watching, and I'll see you next week. Peace.